This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 11th, episode 1607. Good morning, horse world.
Everybody up, rise and shine. It's a new day.
It's Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday.
Here we go again.
Oh, and away we go.
Wow. I don't even know what I just listened to. It's like a bass line in there.
Hey, it's Wednesday. You have to wake everybody up. Get them going. It's
I love it. Well, it is, it's Wednesday and it's hump day. And it just seems like this week is kind of crawling by. But that's what happens when you don't get it.
Wait a minute. That is your new pink alert. What is the pink status?
Pink alert, pink alert. Pink is currently, wait for it, eating hay. She's eating hay right
after
now.
After having the baby or before having the baby?
Before having the baby.
No baby.
Before having the baby. But that could lead me to another series of texts from the vet.
Oh, we're going to get to that a little bit later, aren't we?
Okay.
Yeah.
We have more.
And I'm assuming that this one was, you're fired. I don't ever want to hear from you again. Get a new vet. You are not worth the money. Was it something like that?
No, of course not.
It wasn't? You sure?
It was not. I don't think. I mean, unless I didn't get that second text message yet. But anyway, Pink is eating hay. Yes, that's okay. About.
Well,
that's
we will
about
check in with
care.
You because I did look this morning when I got up just to make sure that you weren't there, you know, holding a baby. And I did look and she was looking rather distressed. So I think that you're really close now.
I damn well better be close. I'm tired of staring at this phone with this camera thing, looking at this dang horse. I'm ready for the baby. No, what I did yesterday, Glenn, was very exciting. I thought, you know what? I've really never seen a baby being born from a horse. I've never really seen it. I mean, I've actually seen it like, I was like there after it was suckling, you know, always too late. So I decided yesterday, I'm like, I really need to start
on YouTube,
understanding what I'm didn't look for here. And so I went on YouTube and I Googled horses delivering foals. I would like to thank the 4.9 million people that have posted videos of their horses having babies. And I was just looking for like a professional one, you know, like just something like here's start, boom, 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 finish. I cannot believe, like, Pink has it made. Her stall is cleaned every day, bedded down, pulled the parts that dries, and then brought back down at night. I'm staring at her this whole time.
I loved when we checked in yesterday, by the way, after you had cleaned the stall, apparently. We checked in yesterday, and all the chickens were in there. So isn't that what we learned in a... We had a guest on who talked about how to properly rotate the earth and everything after you clean a stall, and it was to put the chickens in. So you are being so proper.
I'm doing great. It's really great. But what I said was you texted me, you're like, everything's moved around. What's going on? I'm like, could you stop staring at me, you crazy stalker? I'm in here just trying to muck a stall. Jeez, back off, grandpa. You're staring at me. No, just kidding. Now you made me lose my train of thought, I was going to tell you. Oh, so I ended up sleeping in there two nights ago, not last night, but the night before, because my camera wasn't working, and I was either sitting in the sharing a bed with a sick child who's coughing every 5 seconds, who I could clearly just leave with his father, and going and sleeping in a barn or dealing with the cough. And so I chose barn. And so she pawed and pawed and pawed and laid down and got up all night. I'm like, this is it. No. And then last night, same thing. No, nothing. So I'm thinking that after all the buildup and all the drama, she's been waiting to go live on the show. So, oh, I forget what I was telling you. So I went on YouTube and I'm looking at these horses having birth, giving birth. Oh my gosh. Like, move your freaking dog. Like, there's dogs standing there in all these videos. You think chickens are bad. There's like, and then several of them, they're giving birth in a field with other horses out there. And I know that that's like nature and Mustangs.
I was just
going to
say, you know, that happens all the time, right?
But that's not nature when they're in a half acre paddock. Like, mares actually prefer to go off by themselves and go in a quiet place and have the baby. And another one, like, watching this horse flop around, like, oh, somebody please help her. Anyway. So
you are not cut out for this.
No, I'm never doing this crap again. This is horrible. Oh, paranoia. God,
if Pink moves wrong during the birth, you're going to have a heart attack.
One of the listeners sent me this book. They were like, you need this book. It's the complete book unfolding mares and foals. And so I read it. Not cover to cover, but like I picked pieces out and then I just had to close it because it's like, there was like 3 pages on a normal birth. And then the other 400 pages of this thing were like all the different dystocias or birthing problems that can happen. I'm like, this is making me crazy paranoid. Don't look at the pictures in those books either. Dear God. Okay. So anyway, I'm just hoping Pink goes live on the show.
All right,
she just
wants me to broadcast from the side of the stall. Out the day today.
It would be like a golf when you watch golf on TV. Okay, right now, yes, Pink is laying down.
Right, laying down.
She's in the rough.
She's in the rough. Jennifer, what is coming up? We're talking about other things, I'm sure, today.
Coming up on today's Crappy List Wednesday edition, it's a horse health extravaganza with Sharon Caswell, who is the mad genius behind VetCheck. And then followed in short order, we're going to have a protein-packed horse health report. And then after the break, we're going to get a little checkered as we're joined by the Plaidcast co-host Piper Clem with some great news. And stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. Time for Daily Whinnies. Can I just say before I do my Daily Whinny, because it kind of ties into my Daily Whinny, that we posted when we had our conversation Monday about horse chicks running out of gas in their cars. And you posted, and Jennifer posted that as our question of the day. We had a ton of responses, and apparently my stereotype assumptions about horse chicks is correct. Most of them do run out of gas in their cars.
I'm telling you, because horse chicks understand that you could potentially train your car to wean it off gas.
It wasn't working really so well for most of them who had their wild stories about their husbands finally saying, I'm not coming get you this time. You're on your own.
Well, so. I went to go check Pink last night and Chad's like, did you just take my car? I said, yeah, I just took your car over there. No big deal. He's like, wait, why'd you take my car? Because there's only 5 miles left on mine. He's like, God! He's like, I bring gas home for the gator, but like, I rely on that gas.
See? Well, my Daily Whinny today, I saw a post this morning from one of my friends named Eva Hughes, who was posting about visiting Lancaster County, and where she was going was right next to where I had my first job. So it got me thinking about first jobs. My first job was Zinn's Diner. I was for 2 years, I worked during high school as a as a dishwasher, and then I went to short order cook for a couple of years. So I worked there all through high school. Zinn's Diner was kind of iconic. I'll post the question of the day up on Horses in the Morning. What was your first paid job? And I had found a picture of Zinn's Diner, and it was very well known. It was 24 hours a day. I worked night shift, so we got all the drunks that would come in at 3 o'clock in the morning because it was the only place in the county open at 3. So all the drunks would come to us, and it would be packed all night long. And we had more buses. It was just packed all the time. There was one point, Jamie, and I'm not kidding, that I had 50 overlight eggs on the grill at one time. So by the time you cracked them all with two hands, you would have to be flipping them all and then taking them off the grill. And we had one cook that just did overlight eggs all morning. That's how busy it was. So it was kind of a fun place to work, and I surely learned how to work hard there. But what was your first paid gig?
So we're talking like paying tax and everything.
Like a real job.
Not like a barn feeder on the weekends. Right. I did. This is so embarrassing. I've talked about it here, and I feel like you just make me bring it up again. It's my actual first job ever. But that I got a paycheck and everything was so embarrassing.
Stripper?
It was a holiday position at the Gap. At the mall.
That's right. I forgot about that. You
I was a
Gap.
Greeter. I was a greeter. You'd walk in, and that's why
you're
I
a
hate
Walmart
Christmas
greeter
music.
At the Gap. That's what you
pretty want. Much because I did. I'm not a good folder. I'm not a strong seller. I'm really not great at anything besides handing out coupons when people walk in. So I'd say, "Oh my God, welcome to the Gap!" And like I'd be all dressed up in my Gap clothes because you
not
had to
picture
wear clothes
this at all.
in the store. Welcome to the Gap, and I would go. All the discounts are in the back, and they did not prefer that when I worked there. And they really needed some employees to stay after the holiday season because there's so much turnover in a job like that. I was 16. I was the youngest employee ever there. I was really good at job interviews. They really needed employees to stick around after the holidays. And somehow I was not offered that position. So my Gap career started late October and ended early January.
Jennifer, what about you? What was your first paid gig? Was a horse gig, wasn't it?
All of my gigs were horse gigs, paid or not.
That's true. I don't think you ever had a non-horse job. Well, you did, actually, after we got married once for a short time. But otherwise, it was all horse jobs.
All horse jobs. My first one that was a paying job that was on the books was I worked for a standardbred breeding farm in Carlisle, and it was a ginormous standardbred breeding farm. And that was my first experience working at a large facility and at a breeding farm. So that was kind of cool.
So wait a second. All this damn time you've known all about mares and foals and having babies and you hadn't said a word?
I was not on foal watch. I was a daytimer. So I was in charge of helping the staff get the mares pregnant. I wasn't in charge of having babies. No, no, no.
She was at the other end of the process. The beginning.
I was at the other end of the process. I was okay. At the beginning.
Yeah.
And then that was a year later. I spent a lot of time prepping yearlings for sale. That was my favorite part of the job.
Were they crazy? Had they ever been touched at that point?
They were standardbreds. They were not crazy.
Okay.
No, they hadn't been touched. The standardbreds work really different than the thoroughbred industry. At least back in the day, they did. I don't know, 25 years later, if they do. But when the foals are weaned,
I guarantee you, not much has changed. Go ahead.
Yeah, the foals are weaned and they chuck them out into a giant pasture in groups of 15 to 20, and basically they don't touch them again until they come back again as yearlings, except to trim their feet and give them inoculations and stuff. But other than that, they're untouched.
You know that whole imprinting thing, Jamie? It's the opposite of that.
Yeah. See you guys in a year.
Let me tell you, it's really fun trimming the hooves of a 9-month-old who is untouched. Yeah, that's good times.
That's why you don't become
what
a farrier.
What farrier signs up for that job? Who wants that job?
The same farrier we had, Glenn.
Really? He was the one that did that?
Yes, yeah, Steve. Steve
did all the work for 10 years. His back was shot, and he'd probably been kicked in every part of his body.
Well, the trick is you have to match pound for pound the human beings who hold the 9-month-old and the 9-month-old itself. So if you have a 475-pound weanling, you need 475 pounds worth of humans to smoosh him up against the wall while the farrier picks up his feet.
Sounds healthy.
All right, Jennifer, you have to get our guest on, but we'll go to Jamie's Daily Whinny. I did just put the post up on Horses in the Morning. And if you go, Jamie, and check out the picture, you'll see why Zinn's Diner was so iconic was because of the statue out in the front. Everybody knew that statue that lived anywhere along the Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Oh, my God. my Daily Whinny goes to this, bless her heart, her name is Lainey Morse, and she is the owner of No Regrets Farm, and I believe this is in Albany, Oregon. Time for a pink update. Okay, I'm looking at her. She's pawing with her left front. Oh, wait. Okay, she's done. She pawed.
That's it?
That was it.
Okay.
All right. So, Lainey Morris, owner of No Regrets Farm, she is the one. I don't know if you did you see this video?
I don't know. Which
she
one?
Is the one that does goat yoga.
No, I didn't see the video.
So, she does a goat yoga class. It's a yoga class where people do yoga in her barn, like on their yoga mats on top of straw. And this whole ridiculous thing went viral. And I thought, I was like, oh my God, why would anybody want to do goat yoga? Why would anybody want to do yoga with goats? Well, apparently I'm the only one who thought that was weird, because there is a waiting list of over 600 people. Oh, wait, 900 now. 900 people are on the wait list to do yoga with goats.
Why don't we think of these things?
She said that Moore said that since she started goat yoga, it has taken over her life. Quote, I ended up quitting my job that I had for the past 10 years, and I'm doing this full time now. But sad news, she can no longer do goat yoga on her farm due to zoning rules. But she said she's working with Oregon State University to provide goat yoga on campus and is working with Emerson Vineyards to do sunset goat yoga and wine tasting on Saturdays and Sundays starting in the spring.
Goats and wine. There, that's something I think about all the time.
She says, it's been such an uphill battle trying to create this new thing. I have had 6 liability insurance companies turn me down.
I wonder why.
Oh, she's got more. She's even started just coming up with a new line of goat yoga apparel.
Rosie just sent me a message. Yoga with chickens. Their clucking is soothing. So there you go.
I can get behind that.
Yes, you can start your own thing and be quitting here and having a real job.
Yeah. This is bizarro. People are desperate for something that is pure and peaceful, she says. It's really hard to be in pain and sad when there's baby goats jumping around you and on you. You're just letting yourself
It doesn't sound relaxing, though, does it? Goat yoga with them jumping around.
Like, oddly enough, like, this sounds like something Mary Kitzmiller would do with her goat.
It does. Mary could make a fortune there in Texas with goat yoga. Because her goat would probably participate and be on the mat doing yoga. At first, that's what I thought you meant, is the goats were doing the yoga.
I kind of think that basically from the pictures, these people are like in a zen state of yoga and they're laying flat. Because I do yoga when I go back. My sister-in-law teaches yoga, so I join her class when I go back to Oklahoma. And, you know, like you're laying on the ground in a plank and there's a flipping goat standing on their back.
Doesn't sound comfortable or relaxing or anything.
No, I don't want to get involved with that. But congratulations, because the wait list is over 900 people. She's had people come from all over the country now.
Do they come back twice is the question. Do they take the second
I did
class?
Holiday goat yoga in the month of December in my barn, and I had people coming from Seattle and Portland, California. Even somebody came from Chicago. So maybe that's not all over the country, like for court plates.
That's funny. That is funny. All right. We got an announcement here while we're waiting for our first guest. And that is, we had Dean Reeves on the show on Monday. Well, Reeves Thoroughbred Racing is pleased to announce that a deal has been reached with Gunpowder Farms and West Point Thoroughbreds to run Breaking Lucky in their starting gate position for the inaugural running of the $12 million Pegasus World Cup. So must have been right after he got off the show with us that that he made this deal and probably was
When he was on the show, he just wasn't allowed to say anything yet. To
say Breaking Lucky. Have you ever heard of Breaking Lucky? I had not.
No, but these are all just, I'm going to Google it while we're sitting
Breaking
here talking.
Breaking Lucky is a five-year-old chestnut son of Looking at Lucky and Shooting Party. Like those names. And Fold in Arterio. Breaking Lucky won a grade 3 Seagram Cup Stakes on August the 1st at Woodbine. Prince of Wales Stakes in Fort Erie won that. And most recently was second in the Clark Handicap to Gunrunner. Isn't Gunrunner also running? I think.
I believe so.
Was ridden by Louis Contieres. And trained by Reed Baker. So that is who is running. My guess is that Dean Reeves is going to have the long shot in that none of us have really heard of this horse. So that's
well, what's really cool about it, well, we don't all follow enough, you know, but enough crazy racing.
Okay,
to,
Jamie, everybody but California Chrome is going to be a long shot.
No, you're very true. But what I think about is cool is that there's a lot of hope with this horse. They've partnered with R.A. Hill Racing, Eric Young, West Point Thoroughbreds, Gunpowder Farms. Like, there's everybody is like, I'll get in on this, but I'm not going to fully get in on this. I'll just give you a little bit of money. So apparently now everybody owns a little piece of Breaking Lucky.
And I guarantee you that 90% of everybody who owns a piece never heard of Breaking Lucky before. Sorry, Dean, but that's probably true. I'm just saying.
That's okay. Man, wouldn't that be a story?
Yes, if Breaking Lucky beat California Chrome, I think that 90% of the racing population would be pissed. But yes, it would be a story. For sure.
You know, we just all love California Chrome.
I know. See, that's the problem, is this horse is so well liked.
Yeah.
There are very few detractors to California Chrome because it was kind of one of those Cinderella stories.
Yes, it's the Seabiscuit of today.
You're right.
You know?
That's a good analogy, actually. Of any analogy, that's probably the best one.
Well, every once in a while, I say something smart.
That's not exactly what I meant, but okay, we'll go with that. Another thing too is if you're looking at training up a Mustang, and we've talked about this before because you have created so much interest in our listeners in Mustangs, the next Extreme Makeover has been announced. We'll return to Will Rogers Equestrian Center in Fort Worth, Texas in September of 2017. Now, they're doing a new format. The competition will feature, and you're not doing a Mongol Derby, so this is an option for you to just what you need, another horse. The competition will feature a new exciting format called Player's Choice. Eligible adult trainers will be allowed to bid on the Mustang of their choosing to use in the competition from a selection of 200 mares and geldings and compete for their share of $130,000. So this is what they're going to do. Superior Auction Services will be displaying the horses at ExtremeMustangMakeover.com in February for viewing. The Mustangs will be available for competitive bid through a Mustang selection event. And then, so basically, you're going to bid on your Mustang. And they've always had different ways of getting the Mustangs. So this is how they're doing it. I think it's interesting that this time you're going to be able to go against other trainers to bid for the Mustang you want. Whereas before it was kind of assigned to you.
It was a draw. Yeah, you would draw a number. And that's right. What was happening is, and not that this is a problem, but it was just funny, is always the biggest dude got the smallest horse.
Yeah, it was never... It never worked out perfectly, or, you know, it very seldom worked out perfectly. So it's interesting how they're doing this one. Now, incentives will also be added in the trainer payout and prize money. The top 10 trainers will split a purse of over $100,000, with the champion receiving $50,000. Preliminary classes will have added money totaling $30,000. And this is what happens. This is the one thing about it that a lot of trainers are a little apprehensive about when it comes to Mustang Makeover, is that Mustangs will be placed up for adoption at the auction close, and trainers will receive 50% of the commission of the adoption price. So some trainers end up having to buy their own horse back, and it ends up costing you 50% of the amount. So, but that's the way Mustang makeovers always worked. They have a youth division this time. Ages 8 to 17 will be assigned 18 to 24 month old Mustang to be trained for competition. And they can do freestyle performance, and they do a couple other things. They have a purse of $9,000 with the champion receiving $3,000. So if you're looking at training up a Mustang and want to have the opportunity to win some money, you know, this is something that Mary Kitzmiller has participated in. And many of our guests and listeners have participated.
Alisa Wallace has done it a couple times.
Yeah, and I know many of our listeners also have done this too. So, so that's all what's happening right now, and the announcement yesterday for the Extreme Mustang Makeover. So, you're going to get another one, Jamie, or you have enough in the yard?
I got this. This darn Zeus is keeping me pretty busy.
Yeah,
not going to lie,
that's true.
You know, I actually will. I don't think I'll do a makeover because I don't want to be in a timeline or a time frame, which, by the way, this whole Mustang makeover thing has really breathed life into people adopting Mustangs. It's such a great idea. Yeah, it's just awesome. But the Mustang makeover, I probably will not ever compete in something like that because these people do this for a living. You know, they train Mustangs for a living. But I do want to get my own and start it. It's been a life goal of mine. And why not wait till you're in your 40s to do something dangerous? but I'll do it when I move.
You're
going to
have
Oklahoma.
One to start here very shortly.
Well, yeah.
All right. Let's go to our first guest. And we have coming up on today, we have Sharon Coswell of Vet Check. Sharon, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for stopping by today. Jamie, did you want to, I know you're excited about this one.
Yeah, no, this is great. Sharon has a new product called Vet Check. She's the founder of Pony Up Technologies, which is a fantastic name. The CEO and founder of Pony Up Technologies and has been a software engineer forever. But you've created something that could kind of change veterinary medicine.
Oh, yeah. No, this is an amazing technology. It was actually developed for the military. And the things that it can do, absolutely, there's no other product out there that can do all the things that we can do with this.
Well,
so
tell us about
very
it.
Very exciting. Right now, what we're doing is blood pressure, the heart function, and respiration. But there's a lot more vital information that it can provide. We just haven't been able to test everything and have a way to present it.
So what is the product? Kind of start us from the beginning because we haven't talked about it yet.
It's a small device that goes on the horse's leg in a wrap boot, and it sends a signal using Bluetooth to a monitor. And the monitor is just a software monitor that's on a PC or a laptop. And then that transmits all the data out to cloud applications. So if you've got a horse in Dubai and you're sitting in New York City, you can be monitoring your horse while it's stabled in Dubai.
That's
and all the data is saved easy. For you. So, I mean, it can actually replace an arterial catheter. On the human side, this technology has gone through FDA and it's been approved. So for a non-invasive device for blood pressure, it's a first. There's nothing else out there that can do this.
Well, now, there are a couple products, and I wanted to ask you about this because we had them on the air before. There was the one that does it in the halter on that the sensors are on the head. And then
they don't do blood pressure. We do everything that they do. But they can't do half the things that we do.
See, I thought they
were diagnostic quality
blood pressure, but maybe they only did respiration and
they don't.
Pulse.
They don't.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's all they do, and they do pulse. They don't do heart function. There's a big difference.
What is
we
the difference?
We do interbeat intervals. Well, if you are a cardiac surgeon, you're not going to use a Fitbit to do surgery. But this device gives you all the information you need for cardiac function.
So is it meant to be used by, is it meant to be used by veterinarians or by average people? What's the use case?
I would say that it's meant to be used by veterinarians and people with performance horses.
Okay.
Where is this? Like we've had girths and obviously yours sounds like it's a lot more involved, but from what I'm reading, it's a leg wrap.
It is a leg wrap. The actual thing that picks up the signal is just a bladder that sits on the distal artery on the lower front leg.
Okay.
That's amazing.
The lower front leg. And so it's just a bladder, picks up the signal, and it sends it to a sensor inside the device.
And
the device itself has an...
Go ahead. That was my next question.
The device itself has an ARM7 processor and processes the data on the device itself and then sends it out to the monitor.
Gotcha. So do you have to be, does the device have to be near the internet? Is that a dumb question?
No, that's a good question. And the answer is no. It stores all the information and then sends it when there's connectivity.
Okay, so if you don't have connectivity at your barn, then if you brought the device in the house, it's going to send it.
Right.
Okay, gotcha. All right, that was. And I know most vet clinics do have connectivity, so that's not really an issue. So when would I use it? Would I use it all the time? Would I use it when I'm worried about something specific? Like we've been on baby watch because Jamie's mare.
That's
about...
my question, right there. Is this something I could have put on this dang mare, and you would tell me when she's about full?
Now let me tell you, she's got cameras set up, and she is watching the camera. We're on baby watch the whole way through the show this morning, so I don't know what else she's going to do except wire this horse up to her wrist. But baby watch, would it help?
The answer is yes. It would definitely help. And what it's looking for, if you're monitoring continuously, it's looking for a trend. And when foaling occurs, the trend is down. Blood pressure drops. Heart rate drops. No blood pressure drops. But you would look for that trend. And if you program it, it will tell you, it'll send you a text message and say, this is trending down or this is trending up. And then you'd know what to look for.
Oh, dear God, send me one right now. I need it.
She needs it like in the next hour, please. If you could ship that.
They do that Amazon thing now. You can pay extra and they ship it to you in 2 hours. So we can get this done. Oh, my gosh.
So now, is this available on the market today? What's the story there?
No, we're doing the final validation testing on standing horses. We validated horses in surgery. And now we're doing the final validation testing on standing horses. We should be finished with that. Within 30 days, and then it goes on the market right after that because it's vets that are doing it. So, you know, it'll be validated by vets.
So for the veterinarians, this is kind of nice because during surgeries, they can watch and keep an eye on it without having, as you said, the arterial catheter, which is what they've done in the past. So this is just a much less invasive way to do that, right?
Much safer, and the really nice thing about it is they can do surgery in the field without, you know, having a non-invasive catheter that they can be looking at the same screen they would see on the arterial catheter. Plus, they can save all the data that's collected. Can't do that with a catheter.
Well, I got to tell you, Sharon, I'm impressed on a number of fronts. One is I'm a little bit of a geek, but nothing like you. You are a programmer and have done some amazing things. You've worked with the military in the past and stuff. What made you want to get into computer and the software?
Oh boy, that's a good question, because now we're going back to ancient history. This is before they.
Okay, but my first computer was a Commodore
64. I mean, I'm
going to
give away my age, but this is before there were even computer classes.
Well, I was using punch cards. So, were you in the punch card era?
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Punch cards and tapes. Yeah.
I was a Commodore 64. Yeah, was my
the real.
First. So. That tells you something.
Mine was a Xerox Sigma 6, and it filled an entire floor in a building at my university.
And it did nothing. It could calculate, like a calculator.
It did very little. Yeah, I think my phone does more than it did. Yeah, absolutely.
That is true. I mean, when you think about where we've come technology-wise, you know, yesterday, and I don't know if any, or Monday, I don't know if everybody realizes this, but it was the 10th anniversary of the iPhone being announced. And look, that first iPhone,
wow.
It was miraculous, the things that it did. It connected to the internet. It had Bluetooth. All of those things were brand new 10 years ago, and now look what we're doing, right? And yours is going to be readable on an internet-enabled device. I mean, it's just incredible the distance we've come in 10 years.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. It's amazing the things that we can do.
So would this product be something, I'm sorry, that like a normal person would be able to buy, or a veterinarian only, or what?
Yes, absolutely. Anybody could buy it. I mean, there's uses for it in almost every situation. But there would never, you know, unless there's a reason to monitor a horse continuously at this level, you know, people say, well, would you have one? No, I wouldn't be using it on my horse every day, but our barn, we have about 50 horses in our barn. And I would expect that we would have baseline information on every horse in the barn. So if anything happened, you'd have baseline information to look at you know, the new information and have something to look at it against. So you'd know if there was a big difference and something was going on.
Very
is
good.
It expensive?
Yeah, that was my next question.
Is it what?
I assume it's not going to be cheap.
Yeah.
Oh, the cost?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's $2,800.
Yeah, so I can see why for veterinarians. But
well, I would have thought it was going to be more. Yeah. I was expecting another zero at the end of that.
Well, that's another thing that's happened in 10 years is all the parts have come down in price, too. The processors.
Well, the technology that it replaces, I mean, some of the technology that replaces costs as much as $70,000.
Oh,
it replaces the equipment that they use to monitor horses in an MRI.
Now you're good. Now you know why it costs so much to bring your horse to the vet, everybody. Because
absolutely.
Sharon, thank you so much. Is there a website yet or anything? Where can people go to see it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. PonyUpTechnologies.com.
PonyUpTechnologies.com. Thanks, Sharon, and congratulations on continuing to develop for the horse world. We appreciate that.
Okay, appreciate you. Thank you.
All right, take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
You know, I was asking her that because, you know, she gave away her age there a little bit, but you know, when you look at the tech world, more and more in the programming side of things, more and more females are getting into it than ever before. So she was actually a rare commodity years ago. There weren't a lot of females in programming. That's only become a recent thing in the last 5 years.
One of the best parts of this show is getting to meet all these unbelievable women.
Yes.
That
I mean, she was a pioneer. I was trying
stuff.
To get to that because she was truly a pioneer being a female programmer in a world. We tried to go see over the weekend the movie, I forget what it's called, Jennifer can help, the movie about the black women who were part of NASA.
Man, I'm dying to see that one.
I know. It looks so good. And we went to see it over the weekend. It was sold out. We couldn't even get in. So I can't wait to see that movie. It looks like it's
going
to be
really good. What a story to finally be told. How do we not know that story? How is it not in our school books?
I know. And apparently it was true. It just nobody ever. There was a book written years ago, but apparently it didn't go anywhere. Oh, wait a minute.
Hidden Figures. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Hold up. Pink is sleeping. Standing up.
That's it? That's all we get?
That's...
You know, I'm keeping hoping for news
happening.
Here. You know, if this is going to happen during the show, she better hurry the hell up because we only got another hour. And then...
You know something? This is really kind of cool because we're just like CNN and Fox News now in that we have these these dramatic updates every 3.5 minutes on something that hasn't changed.
Yeah, a celebrity
just
blows
like Fox
their
and
nose.
CNN do.
That's true. Yeah. Everything is breaking news on Fox and CNN. Did you notice that? Everything is breaking news.
Coming at you. I'll give you my coming at you live right now from Phoenix, Arizona. We are broadcasting right now at 7:39 a.m. in the morning. The sun is just coming up, people, and it is about 64 degrees. What I've got to tell you right now, we have breaking news coming at you from the side of the stall live via satellite. Pink has now, well, she's sleeping. Back to you, Jim.
Thank you very much for that live report. We'll get back to you in a few moments with the latest update on Pink's
napping. We'll be standing by.
Yes.
We'll be standing by.
All right, good, good, good. Well, Jennifer, Jennifer, can you please introduce this next health segment we have today?
I can stop laughing.
All right, they will all sound like that from now on.
Okay, good. Yeah, we expect professionalism here, Jamie. We are not an amateur operation, okay?
You're right. You're right. I don't know what I was thinking.
You know that raise we gave you this year? Forget it. It's gone.
Disappoint, boss.
Jennifer, what do we have?
We have, this is a pre-recorded chat I had with Dr. Tanya Cubitt from Performers Towards Nutrition, and she is going to explain to you why protein is important in your horse's diet. And all the people out there in the world who are followers of fat don't want you to know this.
Yeah, this has come up, I know, in the auditor room and about, and then we're in the middle of winter where it's harder to keep weight on horses. So I think this is an important conversation to have, and we'll be back after that. We have more show. Jamie and I will be back as well with more updates.
And welcome back to the Horses in the Morning Show, Dr. Cubitt.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're thrilled that you're taking a little time out of your day to answer some questions for us today. And today it's all about proteins. What the heck are they? And why do I care?
Proteins, and I'm so glad we're talking about this topic, because protein is so, so very important, and it really gets a bad rap. There are a lot of myths about protein out there, so I want to dispel a couple of those, as well as just talk about what on earth is protein. So what is it? It makes up about 15% of our body, with most in the muscle. It has key functions, including transporting nutrients in the bloodstream, metabolic functions, helps as a part of your immune system, also helps to minimize and buffer pH levels. And it's made up of small units called amino acids. And lysine, which most of our listeners have probably heard of, is often the most lacking in our equine diets. And it's also the only one we actually have a true requirement for. And we call lysine an essential nutrient. And when we use that term correctly in equine nutrition, it means that the horse can't make it or synthesize it in its body. It has to consume it in its diet. So it really has to eat feed sources that are very high in those quality amino acids like lysine. And those ingredients would be things like soybean meal, which is a legume, or alfalfa, which is also a legume.
Interesting. Now, just this is where the conversations frequently take a left-hand turn. So if you are a feral horse, you're a Mustang wandering around the wilds of Montana, they obviously are not given any food that would contain extra lysine. How does he survive? Because he's got to get it somewhere. Are there naturally occurring food sources that have sufficient quantities so that an animal can subsist? Is that kind of how it works?
Absolutely. I mean, there are weeds that are also legumes out in the wild. You've also got to think, because I commonly get this question, well, horses in the wild did fine without that and without us. They also probably have a life expectancy between, let's say, 7 to 12 years.
Good where, point, yeah. Yeah.
We're expecting our horses to live 30 years, and they reproduce, they only run away from predators, they don't have to jump and exercise, and they have a wide variety of different forages, shrubs, weeds, grasses in the wild that they can chew on. So, and our domesticated horses typically in a lot of places aren't getting a lot of access to pasture. If they are, maybe it's not very green pasture. Or anyway, horses in the wild, lots of access to different types of forages.
And a very different lifestyle.
So exactly.
We can't compare domesticated horses and wild horses and expect them to have the same requirements for those, that essential amino acid. So step
You're
one.
Exactly
they,
right.
They need it, and they're not all built the same. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I've got that part.
When it comes to looking at how much, looking at how much a horse needs, everybody is aware that a young growing horse needs a lot more protein for growth, because really what you're doing as a young animal or a young human is you're laying down tissue, laying down muscle, and that, as I just mentioned, is primarily protein. So quality protein is absolutely critical for a young growing animal. Despite one of the myths you may have heard that high protein diets cause developmental orthopedic disease or problems with joints in foals. That is an absolute myth. And it was a study done back in the 1970s in Great Dane dogs, actually, that implicated excess protein in causing these growth disorders. But subsequent studies have revealed there's no relationship between high protein diets and growth disorders, and both protein and energy are absolutely critical for proper growth and bone maturation. And other studies have shown that bone turnover is depressed in horses that aren't fed a adequate protein diet, so a low protein diet. So the old recommendation, if your horse has growth problems, to take all the feed away and it's protein that's causing it, is really incorrect. And we absolutely, whilst we may take away some of the energy because we don't want these horses overweight, we absolutely need to make sure we're giving them quality protein sources to help support the growth, along with adequate vitamins and minerals to help support the growth.
So if feeding quote, high protein diet to a young horse is not directly going to cause an orthopedic disease, can withholding protein, in other words, feeding a young growing horse dramatically insufficient amounts of protein, can that cause growth problems?
We haven't done the studies to directly say if you withhold protein, you will cause developmental orthopedic disease. But we have done enough studies to show that not feeding adequate amounts of quality protein is detrimental to bone strength and growth. So while it's not directly related to an actual disorder, the whole goal of breeding and growing young foals is strong, healthy bones, because they have to, throughout the rest of their 30 years, put up with the rigors of maybe it's a racehorse and then it's going to be a show hunter and then it's going to work in a riding program. So it's got to be working a lot of its life, and we really need to make sure we're developing really strong bones.
Do we have any data yet at this point? I don't know if anybody's ever taken the time to study it, whether or not a young horse who has been deprived of those nutrients for an extended period of time, for example, someone who adopts a 4 or 5 year old horse that was a starvation case when it was a baby. Do we know if there are long-term effects on the horse's skeletal system, specifically their skeletal system, because of that, or hasn't anybody had the ability to study that yet?
You know, long-term studies in horses are always difficult because they're very expensive, but that is certainly something that I would say quite possible. We know that in young horses, especially actually go further to even before they're born in utero, that if mares are malnourished or starved during pregnancy, that we definitely have issues with the growth of the young horse or the development of the young horse. We know that about people. So certainly you could make that assumption that a malnourished young horse as it goes through its life, is just going to have more issues overall.
Yeah, it's just more likely to have issues. Well, kind of, that's one of those things that it kind of makes common sense. Yeah. So we've got different kinds of proteins that are not all created equal. We need to feed appropriate amounts to young horses. Okay. What else have we got going here with this protein thing?
Well, and I just want to throw out there, because we've got some products on the market, commercial products, that have certain percentages of protein. Everybody looks at their commercial horse feed, yeah, and
they've even taken the naming it on the feed percentage. That way now.
They, oh, they, I know. I ask it, people.
Yeah, horse feed number 12. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes, and I ask people, what are you feeding your horse? And they say, well, I'm feeding a 12% textured feed or a 14% sweet feed. Really, percentages don't mean anything unless they're associated with an amount. Same goes for if we're looking at sugars and starches in the diet, or even potassium if you've got one of those quarter horses suffering from HYPP. Other topics for other days.
Yes.
But my point being, percentages alone really mean nothing. So let's take, for example, we've got feeds on the market that I will call generically a low intake ration balancer. They're very concentrated. They're designed to be fed at 1 pound a day to a 1,000 pound horse. And typically the protein contents are very high, maybe 25 to 30% protein. And that freaks people out. Oh my gosh, that's way too much protein. I couldn't feed my horse that. And I say, well, what protein content are you comfortable feeding your horse? Oh, probably about 12%. And I say, well, how much are you feeding of that 12% protein feed? Oh, he gets about 4 pounds a day. So I then break down the math for people and I show them, okay, if we have a feed that's 25% protein, but you only have to feed 1 pound a day of it, the amount of actual protein your horse gets out of that is 4 ounces.
We are coming at you live via satellite, broadcasting here in Phoenix, Arizona. It is 7:51 a.m. The temperature is 64 degrees. Things are moving and shaking back at the home desk, you guys. You're not going to believe this. Hold on. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Breaking news here. Standing at the side of Pink Stall, she is still sleeping. That's right. Still sleeping. Back to you, Glenn.
I'm trying. We're trying to get back on the air here.
This, I cannot work in these conditions.
12% protein feed that you feed 4 pounds a day,
quit.
Your horse is actually getting about 7.7, let's say, 8 ounces of protein a day. So in the lower percentage, based on the feeding rate of being 4 pounds, you're getting double the amount of protein. So when I break it down for people like that, oh, okay. And then you've also got to think, even the poorest, you know, low quality hay, grass hay, is going to run around 8% protein. So if we have to feed our horse about 15 pounds of grass hay a day at 8% protein, that's close to 20 ounces of protein.
Wow.
So we really have to put it in perspective of how much am I actually feeding. And just go back to doing some basic math, and it all will become a lot clearer to us.
See, that's where the problem is. There are too many horse people who are bad at math. All of those in the room, please raise your hand.
That's why I always do mine on 1,000 pounds, because it's easy. Well, I'll do a talk, and they'll say, well, I've got a horse that's 936 pounds. Let's round it up to 1,000, because that's easy for me to do the math on.
Right, right. Yeah, and I've discovered a whole new level of how bad I am at math now, because Glenn's pony, PT Scooter, is like a 400-pound pony. So it's,
gosh.
And everything is labeled for 1,000-pound horse.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Just to put those values that I was giving you, the 4, 8, and close to 20 ounces, put that in perspective of what a 1,000-pound horse needs. Let's go back to the 1,000-pound. Actually, how much protein do they actually need in a day?
Yeah, anyway.
So for a maintenance horse that's doing nothing, just an average maintenance horse, he needs about 22 ounces of protein a day.
Really?
So typically, we can get that from a decent quality hay. But then if we looked at a horse doing heavy work, say a racehorse, they're going to need about 35 ounces a day of protein.
Wow.
And lactation, early lactation, which is no surprise, early lactation, because that mare is putting so much of those proteins, amino acids, into making milk, good quality milk. Lactation, early lactation, you're going to use, the horse is going to need about 54 ounces of protein a day.
Wow.
So it's really, really critical.
That's a lot. So it's going to matter what kind of hay they're getting.
Absolutely.
Because different hays have lots of different levels of protein in them. Now, somewhere I read, it was probably on a blog, and this is something that's been floating around for many, many years. You hear folks say, I can't give my horse alfalfa hay, in other words, high protein hay, because it makes him high. Do we have any, do we have any actual research that says that protein in excess makes a horse, quote, hot or high?
Well, let's just go back to when proteins are digested. So when you eat food, you digest protein and it gets absorbed and then goes into your bloodstream. In order for it to be ever used as energy, it actually takes energy to turn it into energy. So it's kind of energy neutral. The one time that an animal would use protein as its primary energy source is if the animal was starving. And you're literally, so you've used up all of your fat stores, you've used up all of the glucose that's stored in your muscle, and now you're starting to break down your own tissues in a catabolic state to break down your own tissues to try and stay alive. So that's when you'd use protein as your primary energy source. Protein is really not a great energy source. So alfalfa gets a bad rap for making horses high, but really any high protein feeds. Horses are very good at excreting excess protein. And if you feed your horse alfalfa and he does get a little hot, it's really nothing to do with the protein and more to do with the fact that alfalfa is much higher in energy than most of your grass hays. And if you're not exercising your horse enough, then extra energy can be displayed in hyper behaviors.
He's just going, woohoo!
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Got it.
So high protein feeds will not make your horse crazy. High energy feeds, if you're not exercising them enough, will. So this is where I get the funny question. People will say, well, and we're kind of going off protein a little, I want to put weight on my horse, but I don't want him to get any fat. I don't want him to get hot or crazy. Well, that's when you have to really look at the type of energy you're feeding, you know, sugars and starches versus oil. But a lot of extra energy, it doesn't matter whether they're laying it down as fat. If they don't need it, if they're not exercising, they may get hot.
Well, there you go. Now, you said that horses are good at excreting excess protein. Where does it go?
Out in the urine. So the kidneys filter out excess protein, and it'll go out in the urine. So I think there is some information or some myths floating around, and this one is actually true. If you do have your horse on a very high protein diet, you have to make sure they're drinking lots and lots of water. You may actually smell more ammonia in the urine in those horses. That's not a bad thing unless the barn isn't ventilated, because that's just the horse excreting excess. If you're smelling a lot of ammonia, it may mean that you're feeding too much protein and you don't really need that much, because you can tell the horse is excreting excess.
So from the purely practical point of view, if you have horses who are excreting the excess proteins, stall reeks of ammonia, and you have to spend lots and lots of extra money on stall freshener. Would it not make sense that you are throwing some of your feeding dollars away, because higher protein feedstuffs cost more than lower protein feedstuffs?
They do. And you may, and typically it's going to, as you noted before, even with my 8% protein hay, I'm still getting 20 ounces of protein out of it. You really want to look at your hay first. And a lot of times we will feed alfalfa if we need weight gain. But sometimes cutting that alfalfa 50-50 with some grass hay will help to level out that ammonia content. And then adding weight from other things like fat supplements.
Yeah. So my next question is, you buy a bag of horse feed, and right there on the front of the bag of horse feed in great big gold letters, 12% protein. It's like, well, that sounds reasonable for my pleasure horse. And it costs you $13.85. And then you walk down the aisleway a little bit further, and right there's a bag of horse feed in great big beautiful green letters over top of a picture of a reining horse, 12% protein. And that bag is going to cost me $25. What is going on here?
So we're saying both feeds had the same protein content, right?
They both say 12% protein on the front. Why is one $12 and one's $25?
Because I can make protein, and this is another reason why I really don't like just looking at the percentage, because that crude protein percentage value doesn't tell me anything about the quality of the protein source. I could grind up chicken feathers and, you know, some dog food, and I could probably make you a 12% protein feed, but it is not what you would want to feed your horses. Quality protein sources that are high in those amino acids, like your legumes or seed meals, they're going to be a little bit more expensive, hence the one that was $25 a bag. Really, when we have feeds that are, I guarantee also, if you looked at the feeding rate of the more expensive bag, you can probably feed less of it. So again, one of the other tricks to working out, is this feed cost effective for me? Don't just look at the price of the bag, but look at how much do I have to feed. So what is the cost per head per day? So if I've got, let's go back to the feed where it was 25% protein, they come in 50-pound bags, and I only have to feed 1 pound a day. That'll last one horse 50 days, and it works out usually, and I've seen pricing across the board, anywhere between 50 and 60 cents a day to feed a horse, versus your 12% protein feed that may be significantly less expensive for the cost of the bag. But if you've got to feed 4 pounds a day of it, that's going to last you nowhere near as long. It's going to last you, you know, 12 days versus 50 days. So if you've got exactly the same protein content, price difference is going to come with quality of ingredients, as well as other technologies that companies are putting in feed, like are they adding probiotics? What sources of fiber are they adding in it? Mm-hmm. Does it have a lot of byproducts in there? Or is it
right? It's one of those things you have to read the tiny print.
You do. And I think a great topic for one of our talks should be going through a tag and going from beginning to the end of the ingredients list and what is it all? Because that's a common question I get. You know, what is this? What is this? How do I read my tag?
Yeah. So, well, one more question about proteins.
Absolutely.
So it's easy enough to overfeed protein. Your horse is getting more ounces of protein than he needs.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, if I am feeding one horse the appropriate ounces of protein he needs each day,
mm-hmm.
which is, what did you say, 8 ounces, does it matter if it's 8 ounces of high-quality protein or 8 ounces of crappy protein? Does that matter in the long run?
It does, and if you are in any other livestock industry, pigs, cattle, chickens, they don't actually look at crude protein values anymore. They're quite archaic. They will actually look at individual amino acid requirements. So a growing pig needs X amount of lysine and X amount of methionine. And as I mentioned, we do have requirements for lysine in the horse. So especially in the young growing horse, it's really critical that you don't just feed them, say, a 14% protein feed, but you're also looking at the lysine content of the product.
Ha! Huh, so this
if you
is complicated
have a horse,
stuff, Dr.
Cupid. You know, it does get very complicated. It really does. And so people really have to rely on the fact that nutritionists do design the products that you buy, and the feeding rates on the backs of the bags are there for a reason. And if you feed according to those those feeding rates, then we can guarantee you that guaranteed analysis. I can guarantee your horse is getting the correct amount of each of those nutrients. If you can't feed that amount, that's okay. If your horse is going to get too fat, if you feed 4 pounds of a feed, then you need to just find a feed where you can feed the appropriate amount. Other things that you may see in a mature horse, if they really don't have enough protein or quality protein, definitely poor hoof and hair quality, poor coat quality. Methionine, one of those essential amino acids, is really critical for hoof quality and hair quality, considering hoof is just hard hair. Just generally not doing well. So protein is really, really important.
And that's where you see the chubby pasture pet with a really lousy coat. And poor
exactly.
Feet.
And we know in humans that just because of a certain weight doesn't mean that you're well-nourished. You can be obese and still malnourished.
Well, that was fascinating stuff. You made my head spin, Dr. Cuban, and I appreciate that.
Take-home message, protein's not the enemy. It's very important.
The Horse Radio Network is excited to announce a new partnership with the Fairfield Inn North by Marriott in Lexington, Kentucky for Road to the Horse and Rolex. The Fairfield Inn North is right off Newtown Pike and Route 64 near the Cracker Barrel and only 10 minutes from the horse park the back way, you know, the low traffic way. The Fairfield Inn North has spacious rooms that are being completely renovated now and will be ready in time for Road to the Horse. Plus, the Fairfield Inn North offers complimentary breakfast, a free Wi-Fi throughout the hotel, a huge free parking lot, a business center, indoor swimming pool and jacuzzi, outdoor patio with grill, a laundry facility, and much more. The Cracker Barrel is located right next door, and there are four other dining options available for breakfast, lunch, and dinner right around the corner. Just for listeners of Horse Radio Network, we have negotiated some great rates for you for Road to the Horse and Rolex. For Road to the Horse, we have the rate down from $160 to $120. If you're going to Rolex, we have the rate down to $199 from $260. There's a very limited number of rooms available at these rates, so call in your reservations as soon as possible. Search for Fairfield Inn North in Lexington, Kentucky. It's the one on Hackney Place. You must call in your reservation and ask for the Road to the Horse or the Rolex Early Bird Special. So that's the Road to the Horse or Rolex Early Bird Special. Search for Fairfield Inn North by Marriott. We lost our reporter. Where'd she go?
We're here. We're coming at you live via satellite. It is 8:06 a.m. here in sunny Phoenix. It is about 67 degrees now, and we have breaking news coming from the side of Pink Stall. Oh, my gosh, you guys. I'm going to keep my journalistic demeanor and let you know that her water has broken.
Really?
Pink Stall is broken. Wait, what? Hold on. I'm getting something here. Hold on. Oh. That she urinated. Pink has urinated. You're mean. All right, guys, we'll keep you up to date. First and foremost, we are always on when you need information. Breaking news here for you from HRN. Back to you, Glenn.
Thank you, Reporter Jamie. All right, and I'm sure Piper is so happy now that she has joined this conversation. We have Piper Clem on. She is the host of the brand new show, the newest show on the Horse Radio Network. By the way, that's only going to be for this week, Piper, and then the next newest show starts. But the Plaidcast. Hey, Piper.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So you're getting live reports on Jamie's baby, too, all morning. So we're all up to date that nothing is happening. Basically, which is what
I can't do this much longer, Piper. I'm losing my flipping mind.
I'm so impatient, so I totally understand.
This is not okay.
When your horse has babies, rather. When you have babies too, actually, it just takes forever. It just takes a lot longer than you think it's going to. They look like they're about
at least with like as a human, I get like when I was done, I'm like, okay, this sucker is cooked and this needs to leave. I went for a long walk and ate spicy food. And you know what? Like the next day I have my baby. I can't give Pink spicy food, although I did take her for a hand walk yesterday.
Piper, I just wanted to formally, obviously, this is kind of a semi-new welcome because you guys were part of Horses in the Morning for a little while here last year, but now you've broken off. You're not a baby anymore. You've graduated to high school, and you have your own show.
Yep, we're really excited.
It's called the Plaidcast, and we are really excited to announce that it is now officially been accepted by iTunes, although I searched for it this morning, and it's not in the search index yet. I don't know if you've searched and found it, but I could not. So that takes a couple days for that to happen.
Yep, we're really excited to be on iTunes and get rolling on all the podcast sharing platforms, and everyone can listen their own way, which is one of my favorite things about all the podcasts.
Well, now, before you contacted me about doing a show, you're a podcast junkie anyway, right?
Yep. I was an early adopter to listening to podcasts, so I've been supporting people like you, the early adopters to actually podcasting.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that, by the way. When nobody else knew how to listen, there were you. You were out there going, I know how to listen. I got my phone. I can listen. Or your iPod when you first started, probably. So now, Piper, I was interested in this. What was your first podcast that you ever listened to? Do you remember?
I listened to a lot of the Fresh Air podcasts. I don't even know if it's on. I probably haven't listened to it in like 10 years. There was one called The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, and it was just a bunch.
Very popular back then.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And it was just a bunch of people, and it really, like, it kind of showed me that, you know, just kind of people can be interesting and have opinions. And I hadn't really thought about media like that because I read the New York Times and listened to NPR, and it doesn't seem accessible to the average person that way.
Do you think that, and I know we're totally off topic here, but I think it's interesting. Yep. Do you think that that it has gotten to the point now where it's mainstream, or we're not quite there yet?
I think it's pretty mainstream, and you know, pretty much everyone I know listened to Serial, and I think a couple of these uber popular ones have gotten people to kind of come back and listen to everything else. And you know, our audience specifically, we spend so much time traveling, so much time in the car, you know, so much time that has the potential to be wasted if we're not kind of doing something with it. And I think podcasting is a really great way to keep informed about our sport and horse welfare and all that stuff that you kind of wouldn't have time to keep up with.
Well, we're very glad you're here, because we've had a hole for a long time in the Horse Radio Network, and that hole's been Hunter Jumper World. And we just needed the right people to talk about it, and I think you guys are the right people. Obviously, you're the Plaid Horse Magazine, which covers everything in that world. But what I'm kind of excited about with this show is that you guys aren't just covering the big names. You're really covering everything to do with the sport, and not just interviews with the professional riders.
Yep. There's so much going on at any given horse show, you know, from the vendor side to the putting on the horse show side to the judging side to, you know, every person plays such a huge part in the exhibitor's experience, and we seek to highlight everyone and, you know, what they all go through to get to the horse show and have a successful day in their own right, whatever that means to them.
Well, and most people that are listening to this right now, if they competed at all when they were a teenager, they started in Hunters and Jumpers, right? That's where they started, and then they branched out. You did?
Yep.
Yeah.
See? I'm Hunter GHJA, Georgia Hunter Jumper Association. That's what I competed in all growing up.
And then you branch off into eventing or dressage, or, you know, or stay in jumpers, right? You go one of those directions, but everybody starts jumping cross rails.
So, absolutely. Yeah.
It's really I still love it all. It's a short stirrup was my specialty. Everybody starts in short stirrups.
Or lead line.
Yep.
Do they, I guess they still do lead line?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to HITS Coachella next week in Thermal, California. And they do every Sunday in the Grand Prix ring right before the Grand Prix. They do lead line around the Grand Prix jumps. And
oh, that's so cute. And is it the cutest thing ever?
Yep.
You're a photographer. That's a photographer's dream class, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Is there anything cuter than like a little girl with little braids going down her back with little bows attached, riding a little pony? Oh, my God. You get that. Like a white pony, too.
Yeah.
My favorite show is Devin, because it's it's a complete toddlers and tiaras like fiasco. Children crying at the in gate and mothers screaming at them.
Are you serious? That's the kind of stuff we want to hear about on this podcast. Yes. Bring us the drama.
We want to hear from the little 4-year olds who can only say yes. No,
yeah. Just record them and play it. Like, hey, I need some good horse show mama drama.
Yeah,
all right?
There you go.
It's in the ring, and every year there are like a few moms with these just massive high heels on that are trying to walk their child on the pony in the footing around the ring. And
no way. Are you serious?
So much. I'm like, no, do not wear high heels in the footing. This is not a good idea.
Oh my God.
Hey, that's a good segment for you, Mama Drama. That's a good segment for a show, isn't it?
I want some horse show mama drama right there. I want it. Put that down. Perfect. Make it a sound effect.
I like that. That's a good, yeah, we can make a sound effect for that. Well, there's other big news too in your world, and that's the Winter Equestrian Festival starts today, right?
Yep, today.
12 weeks. It's the largest and longest running horse show in the United States.
Yep. The Plaid Horse, we're working with Awesome Artifacts. And so they have a vendor space up on Hunter Hill. So you can shop all your Plaid Horse apparel and make sure that you're reminding everyone to listen to the Plaidcast by wearing it around. It's going to be absolutely massive this year. They've done so many renovations for footing and trying to make the rings more accessible. And they've done a lot of great changes this year to try to address some of the traffic problems and footing problems that they had in previous years. So we're really excited.
Pro and amateur riders from 33 countries, 50 states competing in 70 divisions from lead line to Grand Prix. And they're giving away, Jamie, close your ears because this will just make you sick. They're giving away $9 million in prize money.
Okay. I'm sorry. I thought you said million after
I did,
the nine.
Actually, $9 million in prize money.
Where is this?
At WEF, at the World Winter Equestrian Festival in Wellington.
Do they accept Mustangs as entries?
Well, I guess I can jump.
Do they have a short stirrup variety for older people?
Yes, it's called the long stirrup. You can bring your Mustang and do long stirrup.
I'm coming to long stirrup.
Well, I think also starting, is it today? We have the Attaquan Global Dressage Festival also starts, January 11th, starts today as well and runs through March 26th. Now, Reese Goffler-Stanfield, of course, host of the dressage show, is down there and getting ready to compete down there right now. If you're ever, and Piper, you can back me up on this, if you're ever in the Southern, if you go to Miami for any reason during one of these, during this 12 weeks, and you can get up to Wellington, which is about an hour north of Miami, if you're visiting for business or for pleasure or whatever, you have to go up and experience it once because it is surreal. It's just, you're right? Am I right?
It's like an amusement park for horse. Like, just everywhere you look, it's just unbelievable. It's such incredible.
What's the little tack shop that's right up the street that is reminiscent of the old tack shops from yesteryear where the stuff is piled to the ceiling? What is that one?
Taqueria.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And Jamie, you would love that place. It has, you walk in and it's just piles of stuff to the ceiling like it used to be in the old days before Dover came and put everything nice and pretty. I love the Taqueria just because it feels like the old days when you
walk in.
Where
is the Taqueria?
It's in Wellington.
Yeah, it's like across the street from, you know, the exit to the horse show grounds.
When you walk in the Taqueria, you know, in the movies when someone walks, when the kids walk into the chocolate factory and the harp music and the glow happens and their eyes get big and they're in awe. That's what happens when you walk in the front door.
It's cool. And then there's shopping at all the venues too. There's tons of shopping over there as well. But it just seeing the thousands of horses wandering around with all the grooms and all the scurrying. It is just the first time we went a couple years ago. We got the tour of the back side where the barns are and everything. It was just a madhouse. It's just a madhouse. It is just incredible. I don't know how the professional riders know which horse to get on next. just crazy. 25 rings and just stuff happening everywhere. Well, we're very excited to have you aboard. Now, we also want to ask your help a little bit because the World Equestrian Games radio show, our 2018 WEG show with Samantha Clark and myself, is starting this week. And we're going to be looking to you for a little help on the jumping side of that to cover jumping, too, for the WEG. So we'll be contacting you because you're our expert now, Piper. You're it. Well, it's called the Plaidcast. They can find more information at the Plaid Horse. Is it plaidhorsemagazine.com or the Plaid Horse?
It's theplaidhorse.com. Yep.
Theplaidhorse.com. You can also find it now on horseradionetwork.com. The first episode is out. Take a listen. This week, we recorded Tanya Johnston. She's going to be on once a month doing the mental side of riding, and she did an excellent episode that'll be coming out on Saturday. Look for it on iTunes. It'll also be on the Horse Radio Network app and all your podcast players over the next couple of weeks. It takes a while for all that to propagate through the internet, but you'll find it on Pocket Cast or wherever you listen to your podcasts, and also on our app. We'll be submitting both at the same time, and that should be coming up in the next couple of weeks. So thanks again, Piper, and we're looking forward to having you on board.
Thank you for having me.
All right, great. The Plaidcast.
Horse show baby mama drama. I want it.
Work on that, Piper.
I'll be listening.
Work on that. Jamie's always full of great ideas. So thanks, Piper.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming at you live from Phoenix, Arizona here. It is 8:20 in the morning, about 67 degrees. The sun is coming up nicely. The camera has now shifted from night vision to day vision because the sun is up, and I have breaking news for you live via satellite. Pink has now started eating her breakfast.
There you go. Well, that's terrific
Back to
news.
You, Glenn.
Thank you so much, Jamie. We appreciate it. Dr. Rose's Remedies Skin Treatment Salve and Spray are 100% all-natural products. They are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal. Dr. Rose's are made with all human-grade ingredients and are safe and effective for treatment for all manner of cuts and scrapes on your horse. And Dr. Rose's is the must-have product here at the Horse Radio Network headquarters to keep PT Scooter's delicate white pasterns free from dew poisoning and scratches. Ask for Dr. Rose's at your local tax store or feed supplier, or visit them online at drrosesremedies.com. That's drrosesremedies.com. Well, we're back here. We have a couple of minutes left. I got to tell you a story that was filled with irony. I mean, just filled with irony.
And dripping with it, if you will.
Dripping with irony, literally. Actually, pretty good, Jamie. Because she knows which story I'm talking about, because it was all over the news feeds this morning. And that was Nemo was trapped in a river. That's right. Rescuers in England had to rescue Nemo, who was trapped in a swollen, flowing river. And Nemo,
I did not know what story you were talking about. It just dripping with irony.
That
is
was
fun
pretty
to
good,
say.
Actually, because Nemo was trapped in a river. And what are we talking about? A Shetland pony named Nemo. There was flooding, and Nemo decided to wade the river like his friends had done in their pasture. And Nemo got stuck in the river. And apparently the owner's sister just happened to be driving by and saw Nemo go into the river and quickly got stuck apparently on a branch in the river because the river was so high and Nemo is a tiny Shetland pony. So she called her sister. Her sister went running out there, could not get Nemo unstuck, but kept his head up so he wouldn't drown. They called the fire department. The firemen came out. They cut the branch away to unstick Nemo and then hook the straps to him and drug him out of the water. And Nemo will live another day. Okay, is that not the most ironic story we've covered all year so far?
That's what I want to know is, where is Aberfoyle? Okay, Scotland. Okay, so what they were saying, part of the problem why Nemo couldn't get out was because he was wearing a heavy rug and he had his heavy coat. So how damn cold is that water if this horse...
I know.
It's a Shetland pony with a coat and a blanket.
Yes. So, I know. I was thinking that, too. I was thinking, wow, that's got to be cold. And this woman's in there holding his head up and everybody's freezing after this is done. But she
all right. This
very...
is in Scotland.
Scotland. That's right. But Nemo stuck in the water. That was the big news.
Nemo. He's the saltwater guy.
That's right. That's right. He's not freshwater.
He was the freshwater. That was the problem.
That's what it was. Yeah, that's what it was. I also wanted to mention that we have a lot. I know we have a lot of listeners in the audience that are really into equine photography. So if you're into equine photography, and we've had the people on from the Equine Photographers Network on the show before years ago. And we've also had Scott Trees on a number of times talking about equine photography. He's like our favorite equine photographer. He's really neat. Well, the Equine Photographers Network is starting a whole bunch of new classes this week. So if you're looking at being an equine photographer, you really like it and you just want to learn more, they're starting a whole bunch of classes. One of them called Photoshop Fundamentals, Composition and Design. Scott Trees is doing one on the art of cropping, and you can find all of that. There's also a short course on winter equine photography, which a lot of our auditors could use right now as they're talking about being stuck in the snow after
lesson
two
one,
or 3 feet.
Wear mittens.
Wear mittens, yes. But you can find all of that at the equinephotographers.org. Equinephotographers.org. It could be something fun to do as you're snowed in and can't do anything else in the Great North.
Got nothing else to do. Hey, I got news that New Vocations, are one of our favorite places around to adopt retired racehorses, is opening a New York facility. So they're just continuing to expand.
I didn't know that.
I know. We'll have to get them on to maybe talk about it. And now, another... Yeah, wait, go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, what's the maker? It's the Maker's Mark Secretariat Center,
yeah,
right?
You've been there. That's the one that's at the Kentucky Horse Park in Lexington.
At the Kentucky Horse Park. They adopted out something like 67 racehorses this past year.
Wow. That's a lot. It's a small facility, so that's pretty impressive.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Wow. Very cool. So lots of people doing great work for the retired racehorses.
And what makes them so cool is they actually train the horses so that when you're actually adopting a horse from the Secretariat Center, you're getting a trained horse.
Yeah, New Vocations does that too.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, that's correct. And what else did we have in the news other than that? That was pretty much it. It's just all really big news going on in Wellington. That's where you'll start seeing a lot of news out of Wellington now. Reese and Philip will be covering that. I assume they're starting to talk. You did their show the last couple of weeks that it's all Wellington talk at this point.
It's Wellington talk. Reese has gotten to the South and she has moved in. Therefore, Philip is grumpy. So we're now into the Reese is happy, Philip is grumpy phase of the show.
Yeah, we go through
show.
That about
it's
2 seasonal.
Months
worth of that.
It's seasonal, yes.
Reese, oh, really?
Yeah, Reese being really happy and showing every weekend and Philip just grumping about being stuck in the snow.
He's grouchy.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Philip. So now, are we allowed to talk about what we're trying to do, me and Reese?
Yes. Did we hear anything, Jennifer?
Jennifer, that's what I wanted, an update.
Oh, dun, dun, dun. We have gotten no response.
Oh, son of a nutcracker. All right, listen. Reese and I. It is 8:27 in the morning. Phoenix, Arizona, coming at you live via satellite from Pink Stall. It is about 67 degrees. The sun is up. It's going to be a beautiful day here in sunny Phoenix. Pink right now continues to eat her breakfast hay. Back to you, Glenn.
All right, good. Yeah.
So
what were you saying there about Reese?
Reese and I are potentially, we're trying to get press passes to go to the Pegasus World Cup. That would be Reese Koffler Stanfield night. Alive and loose on the town.
And all she cares about is, are you dressing up? That's all she really cares about is she wants to get dressed up. She has nice clothes and she wants to wear them. So.
Well, good. I'm going to borrow some of her clothes.
Now, Reese stands about a little taller than Jennifer, so you're going to look baggy.
We may have to hem.
Yes, yeah, may hemming is going to be important.
She's going to have a short dress, and it's going to be like a good tea length for me.
Your ankles, actually. Because we're not insulting Jamie. She's only about 5'2", so and a half or 3/4 or whatever it was. I don't keep forgetting. Oh, that's it for today. So nothing, huh? We got no baby. You tell Pink when you go out today that she's really disappointing, that it would be better radio if she was actually having the baby on the air. I'm just saying.
Dear God, can I make it till Friday? Can Pink? You know what? We'll have the answer after the break.
Which will be about 2 days long. So we'll see you on Friday. We'll see you on Friday. We will check in if there is a development. What do we have tomorrow morning, Jennifer? Oh, we have Mary Kitzmiller. So definitely during Mary Kitzmiller's, if Pink is having a baby, you will have to check in live.
Okay.
All right. So All right. Mary will be back tomorrow answering questions, and I'll be posting today for some questions. If you have any questions for Mary on training of any kind, send them to Glenn at horseradionetwork.com or Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com, and we'll get them over to Mary. We'll also be posting on the auditor page for new questions for Mary for tomorrow.
Hey, real quick, by the way, Did you happen to notice, speaking of training and answering questions, that yours truly has become a Monty Roberts University.
Oh, yeah. What's that about? I didn't follow the thread there. What's the story?
So when I went to his special training this summer, I took a naughty pony, named Hogan. And Hogan belongs to one of my students, little girl. And he just is difficult in every aspect. So I'm like, well, I'll just take him to Monty and see if he can use him in the clinic. And he did. And we made an entire university lesson out of this pony. And I love that. I've walked in the round pen. This is the pony we talked about last year. It was like, that's not a pony. That's a bulldozer, is what he told me. But he's doing the voiceover while I'm trying to lead this bulldozer around. And he's like, and come to meet Hogan, whose ground manners are ridiculous. maybe laugh because they were, but anyway, so that was pretty cool. I'm gonna be a university lesson on the Monty Roberts University.
That's cool. You're made gonna be it. Official.
That's the ultimate. That girl.
Yes.
The ultimate.
Yes.
I know, and I'm gonna be internationally famous. So when you are internationally famous, you set yourself up for certain criticisms and everything. But you know what? Bring it on. I can do it. I can take it.
Where can people find it? They're going to have to join the university,
MontyRobertsUniversity.com. If you're not a subscriber, you should be, because if you are listening to the show, you have horses and you want help training them. That's nice and safe and gentle and whip-free and awesome and just makes you think differently about the way that you talk to your horse. So check it out, MontyRobertsUniversity.com. You can have a free day pass.
Watch me
embarrass myself.
That is true. They have a 24-hour pass, right? To try.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
There you go. But just be sure to watch Jamie first.
Yes.
It's less than a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Binge and watch it for 24 hours straight.
That's right.
And then
buy a membership, because that's really how they make their money. So throw that in there. Also, you can win some prizes this month by sending in a really bad ad to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com for Friday. So Jennifer needs a few more. Remember, if you read the ad yourself, you know, record it on your phone and email it to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. You get double the entries for the prizes if you read your own ads. So get them in for Friday's show. Well, that's it. That's all we have time for. Pink, you're disappointing us today.
Spay, neuter, geld, everybody.
Have the baby already.